Good morning, church. Glad that you are with us, tuning in this morning. And week after week, here we are again, managing the best we can. And we still, we serve a mighty God. And so we're still going to honor Him and stop what we're doing on Sunday mornings and start our week off right. And really the highlight of our week is still being together in spirit like we are. And so I'm told we had 125 plus that tuned in for class this morning, and 250 or over 250 right now for worship. So I'm excited to tell you, in addition to those in Oklahoma, we have people tuning in right now from Missouri, Kansas, California, North Carolina, Texas, Wisconsin, and Colorado. And so glad you're with us wherever you are. Hope that you stay safe and God continues to bless you. And so, as you know, or you may not know, but in Oklahoma there are plans and phases to reopen the state and reopen businesses and churches as well. And so, just to let you know, the elders are working on a plan for us reopening, and that has not been finalized, so I do not have a date to announce when we will reconvene meeting at the building. But I want you to know, number one, we see a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm excited about that. Just being able to see it coming, that you know we'll be able to get back together, and it will be a little different, but we'll be excited to at least see each other's faces and hear each other's voices, and so we definitely look forward to that. We're going to be thoughtful about it, properly cautious. We're going to be considerate of everyone, and I just want to remind you, church, to be thinking about this and praying, because in any situation where something affects all of us to this degree, when we do reconvene, we have different opinions on this matter of this virus, and you know, the opinions are widespread and they vary greatly. And so above all, I encourage you to be preparing now that we would love each other, we would be considerate of each other, we would put our unity in Christ above everything, and so be prepared to come back together with some patience, some kindness, and unity. And so we're looking forward to that for sure. This morning, the topic of today, the word for today is secure. Do you feel secure? Are you secure in who you are as a person? Are you secure in your appearance? Are you secure in your relationships? Are you, you know, maybe you're secure in a lot of ways, but in some ways you're not. Are you secure in this world? Do you feel secure during this crisis? Sometimes you'll have a dream like I do, and in your dream you're falling. And so you know that feeling, that uncomfortable feeling of falling, and you may wake up and, you know, jerk. And that's a feeling that none of us like. And to some degree, it's a little bit of what we feel right now, because we don't know how everything's going to go. We don't have control, and things aren't normal. And when they're out of normal, and the future is uncertain, we kind of have that feeling of I'm not stable. And or you may have a feeling of panic. Sometimes I have nightmares. I call them episodes. And they're, if you've not heard me talk about this, they're a little different. They're not just a nightmare where you wake up and you're having a bad dream. But in my nightmares, sometimes when I have these, I will wake up and I'll be walking around the room, but I'm still dreaming. So I'm kind of playing out this nightmare. One time I had to, in my dream, I had to get out of the house, and there was I was trying to climb out this window. I needed to get out, like the house was on fire. And so I'm climbing over Stephanie, literally, because in my dream I'm trying to get out of this house. So anyway, those are, she has, you have to think about her. She has to wake me up and get me to snap out of these, you know, these kind of night daydream, night dream terror episodes that I have. So, but it's pretty wild when I come out of those and realize, oh my goodness, that was just a dream. And we kind of, that's kind of what we're in right now. It's surreal. And so we don't, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty and we don't necessarily feel secure. So anyway, today's sermon, I want to touch on our feelings of insecurity that range not just from during this crisis, but really, you know, at all times. In fact, so think about this, just personal feelings of security as an individual. Do famous people feel secure in their fame? The answer is no. Do powerful politicians feel secure in their power? The answer is no. You would think good-looking people would feel secure in their good looks, but the reality is even they don't. In fact, some of the most physically insecure people on the planet are supermodels. And one has been quoted, Cameron Russell has been quoted as saying that she is insecure. And so it's kind of amazing to me to learn that people who are, you know, they excel in one way or another, and whether it's physical beauty or power or success, that people that are famous, it's a little surprising to learn that they're insecure. But then when you stop and think of what you know about yourself and what you know about people, we're really all insecure to some extent. In fact, I've not met someone who was truly secure in who they were as a person and had no vulnerabilities, if you get deep down enough within us, we all personally and maybe privately have some insecurity. And so the truth is, if you think, you know, whatever it is you need to feel secure, once you get it, you will find it's either not enough, or if it is enough, then you will become insecure about losing it. And so it's something we battle throughout our lives. In fact, sometimes you may know someone who's very prideful and you think, well, this person, obviously they're very secure because they're so arrogant and prideful. And my experience has been even those people, underneath that pride is insecurity. And sometimes people are even compensating for that. And so I want to share a story with you. I read in a book recently, the author is Brant Hansen. He writes in his book, Unoffendable, about meeting a man that he refers to as the ultimate dude. And so as I kind of tell this story, I'll periodically refer to him as that. That's what he thought about him or called him, the ultimate dude, the ultimate guy. And the author talks about being in Afghanistan at a hospital, and that this man was assigned to him, and his job was basically security for the time that that he was there. And so to make sure that Mr. Hansen wasn't killed. So there was some security issues where they were in Afghanistan. And so in describing this ultimate dude, he says, he's American, but he speaks the local language. He could speak Dari, and so he's smart. He's 6'4" and in perfect condition. He can handle weapons because he was a Special Forces veteran with combat experience. And he looks like John Hamm. And when I read this, I didn't know who John Hamm was, or didn't realize I did. But he's an actor, played in TV series Mad Men and movies, Million Dollar Arm, Baby Driver. So anyway, this is a famous person that this ultimate dude looks like. He says he has owned restaurants, apartment buildings, several successful medical businesses in the U.S. Oh, and he's also an inventor. He's developed tactical wear for militaries and police forces around the world. He has a great knowledge of Scripture. He's a Christian. And his father's on the board of one of the top Christian universities in the States. He's a former college football player, started on the defensive line for a Big 12 team. He walks with a limp, but even this vulnerability becomes impressive when you hear how the injury came from jumping out of a helicopter on a military mission. When the top plastic surgeon at the hospital in Afghanistan, which treats kids with disabilities, when he saw this ultimate dude walk in one day, he ran over to give him a hug. Why? Because the ultimate dude is the one who taught the top plastic surgeon how to do plastic surgeries at the hospital. That's right. The ultimate dude is a surgeon as well, and one of the best. When the writer, Brant Hansen, when he met this man, he says the man was getting ready to marry a runner-up in the Miss Universe contest. Some of his celebrity friends would be there, like best-selling international thriller authors who use the ultimate dude to help them shape their fictional stories. This is quite a guy. And if I didn't understand the source of this, I would think this is made up. But so, in summary, this man is a Christian. He's great looking. He's tall. He's athletic. He's wealth making, beauty queen marrying, special forces serving, celebrity befriending, weapons bearing, multiple language speaking, business starting, cutting edge equipment inventing, world hopping, child saving, plastic surgeon. And he's insecure. He says he struggles with it. He feels like he's trying to live up to something and he doesn't know what it is. He feels like he's falling short. That's a little hard to believe. And then the longer I think about it, knowing what I know about me and knowing what I've learned about other people, it's really not surprising. We just tend to be that way. We tend to see our weaknesses. We tend to wish we were better at different things. We tend to feel like we're not measuring up, or like we could do more and should do more. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm saying this feeling of insecurity is something we battle. And it can never be solved. Listen to me. Your feelings of insecurity can never be solved by receiving enough love from a boyfriend, a girlfriend, husband, wife. That will never make you feel secure. You cannot solve it by collecting enough money in the bank, losing enough weight, gaining enough muscle, becoming great enough at whatever you're practicing, playing, or working at. It doesn't solve it. And this example, this ultimate dude is a good example of that. I mean, goodness, he had all those things. That did not solve his feelings of insecurity. You think about characters in Scripture that were insecure. Gideon, when God told him to go save Israel, he says, surely not me. Gideon was insecure. Moses was insecure about his speech. Timothy was timid. Paul felt like he was the chief of sinners and the least of the apostles. King Saul was insecure. Remember, he's a head taller than everyone. Looks great. Looks the part. When they go to announce and anoint him as king, do you know where he is? He's hiding. Because outwardly, he was strong, but inwardly, he was terrified. Insecure. It can only be solved through a closer walk with your Creator. That's how you solve insecurity. And both in this corona crisis that we're in, with the world as it is, feeling insecure about that. You may be feeling insecure about your finances, your future, or just typical daily who you are, feeling like you're not as good as other people. You're not good enough. It can only be solved through a closer walk with your Creator. And really two different ways and two different focuses I'll share with you this morning. One is learning to believe God, and that involves trust, but learning to believe God, and the other is being near God. Learning to believe Him and being near Him. So let's start with believing God. Flipping your Bibles to Psalm 139, verse 13 is where we'll start. 139, verse 13. This is a scripture you've probably heard before, but it's a great one to take our minds to. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." We don't give God enough credit. We think God's done great things, but boy, I don't know so much about how he made me. And the writer of this psalm realizes who God is, and he believes God, and he knows that he is a creation of God. In fact, if you look at all of creation, look at the universe, look at our planet, look at how amazing and wonderfully God has made this world that we live in. Who did he make it for? Made it for you. And then he created you and I. He created Adam, created Eve, and we're all creations of God. We are at the pinnacle of what God has made. You think you're not great and amazing, and I don't mean in a prideful way. I mean in something to feel good about, that God made me. Thank you, God. I am fearfully made. I am wonderfully made. And I'm good because of what God says about me. And we'll get to that. And really, these scriptures, look at John 15:15. These scriptures, by the way, this hinges on you walking with God. Remember, I said insecurity can only be solved by a closer walk with God. So this is you as a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, then I'm describing, and these scriptures describe what you can be. And so these are for us as Christians, or for you if you're not one, what could be in your future. Jesus says to his apostles, no longer, in John 15:15, "Do I call you servants? For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus takes his relationship with the apostles. He kind of opens it up, and he says, you're now a part of this. And you're not just a servant. You're not just doing what I say, but you're brought along in knowledge. And that's how we are. God has revealed his word to us. And we are not just Jesus' servants or God's servants, but we're considered, Jesus calls us his friends. He would call us his friends. 1 Corinthians 6:19, flip to this one. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." And we learn from Acts 2:38 that when a person gives their life to Christ and they repent and turn from their sins and are baptized and have their sins washed away, Acts 2:38 says, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit living in you, the Christian. And so if you're a Christian, you are a temple. You're a living temple of God's Spirit. That's what you are. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's who we are. We're called into God's marvelous light. And let's look at this for a second here. A chosen race. We're not the Israelite race. We're the Christian race. And we're chosen. God chooses. He calls everyone. He's calling all. And so he chose you. He wanted you before you wanted him, is the point. You're a chosen race and a part of a chosen race. Don't think that you're not good enough for God to save. God will save you as you are and then bring you along and make you holy as his Spirit lives in you. This isn't about our ability. It's about God's ability to work in our lives. A chosen race, a royal priesthood. We don't understand royalty very well in America. It's a concept that I'm proud of our nation and who we are and our freedoms, but royalty really speaks to a culture and a country where if you don't have royal blood, you can't do certain things. But and so as Christians, that's a privilege. The royal, only the Levites could serve in the temple in God's nation of Israel, but now under the new covenant, we are all priests. We're all a part of the priesthood. Every Christian is a priest, a royal priesthood of believers. That's what we are, a holy nation. You're part of, if you're a Christian, you're part of a holy nation. That's who God says you are, and a people for His own possession. God possesses you. You belong to Him. How valuable are you? You know, you think about the things that, in your life that you possess, the things that are valuable to you. What does a person do with valuable things? Well, they keep them in a special place. They may keep them secure, maybe locked up in some way, protected, honored, cherished. That's what you are. God sent His Son to die for you. How valuable are you to God? There's no price we can put on that. So we're God's possession. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God." You're a child of God. And we don't understand what an honor it is to wear that title, a child of God. We don't deserve that. And so let's talk about insecurity for a minute. If we're just talking about us and our ability and our goodness, we're not good enough. No. But that's why the gospel is such good news, because Jesus died, and so we could be good enough. You're a child of God. That's who we are. We don't deserve that title. We don't deserve this. But the question is, will you receive it? And if you'll receive it and believe what God says about you, you will find security that you've never had. You're a child of God. Galatians 4:7. "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." You and I are heirs. We have an inheritance coming. It's valuable. It's more than millions and billions and any amount of money on this earth. It's more than what any money could buy on this earth. That's what we are inheriting in Christ. In heaven. It will be in heaven. It will be another life, a different life. It will be for eternity. But just because we can't see it and experience it and look in a brochure doesn't mean it's not real. You're an heir. Philippians 3:20, "But our citizenship is in heaven." If you're a citizen of the U.S., and most of you are, then you have dual citizenship. You have dual citizenship because you're also a citizen of heaven. That's the greatest, right? That brings along the greatest rights and privileges, a citizen of heaven. And so think about this statement. Apply this to yourself. You are, if you're a Christian, you are a wonderfully made, chosen friend of Jesus. You're a royal, priestly, holy temple of God's Spirit who belongs to God. You are a child, an heir, and a citizen of the nation of heaven. That's who you are. That feels pretty good. And I would say the longer we focus and meditate on those thoughts and who God says we are or who we are in Christ, that's where we'll find security. It's not in me. It's not in you. You're not enough. You never will be enough. Quit trying to seek to feel secure in how you look or your ability or your performance. I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm not saying don't try your best. I'm just saying you're not going to ever measure up to a place where you feel confident fully in who you are, because you're flawed and you're imperfect and you always will be on this earth. You will always at times fall short. I'm not saying don't seek God's holiness. I'm not justifying sin. Don't live in sin. We have to turn from sin. Jesus died for sin. But our security comes in God and who He says we are. It's in the privileged position that God has placed us. Not a place we've achieved, but a place that God has put us. And then secondly, I'll share a couple scriptures on this point. Is about being near God. Our security comes, and in this crisis, you want to find security during this crisis. Walk near God. Get near Him. Look at Psalm 23, a great psalm that many find comforting. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In this psalm, notice where you are with God. Notice where the author is with God. And the answer is together. God is shepherding me, but I'm near him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So it's about nearness to God. If you're not feeling secure in our crazy world, ask yourself, how close am I walking with God? How close am I to him in his word? How much am I in his word? How much am I in prayer? How much of my thoughts are about God and who he is and me wanting to be closer to him? Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I'm living my life and I'm living it wherever I am, doing what I do. But look at this, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's about nearness to God. It's about security with God. And it's not absent of trials or problems, but it's safety with where God is. And this is a spiritual safety, of course. Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And it's really this, read on, this is talking about painting a imagery of under the wing, under a wing of a mother hen or a mother bird. This was oftentimes in ancient times kind of a imagery of being sheltered by God. And so verse 2 says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's true security, when we trust in God, when we put all our chips with God, so to speak. That's who we are invested in with security. It doesn't mean we don't work. It doesn't mean we don't save or plan. It means, how do I feel here? My security here in my heart is not because of my plans. It's because of my God, and I'm under his wing. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. That's where we'll find security. I want to leave you with two scriptures. These are two that I encourage you to write down. These would be great to write on your bathroom mirror, write on a piece of paper, put it on the fridge. If you're like me in my house, or on the pantry, where all the snacks are. I need to put one up there. These two scriptures would be great for this. The first one, Colossians 3:3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that one's about identity. This is you. Quit trying to find confidence in how you appear, in your education, in your accomplishments, in your abilities, your intelligence, your sense of humor. Quit trying to find confidence in those things and find them in the fact that you are hidden in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. Let God exalt you. I'm not saying don't have humility, but find peace and confidence among, you may be among experts or people that this world thinks are great, and you can be confident. Why? Because you're a child of God, hidden in Christ. In God. Psalm 16:8 is more about me being near God and kind of the world and its uncertainty. But I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Remember to put God before you. Whatever you're doing, put him at the front of it. I'll leave you with this quick story. When my oldest daughter was young, when she was in preschool, so she's 3-4 years old, and I was walking her home one day from preschool, just a couple blocks, and walking her home, and I had her, I was carrying her in my arms, actually, and as we're walking, here comes a dog barking, and this is not a small yippy dog like I have at my house. This is a Rottweiler dog. This is the kind of dog that would take a chunk out of you know, this is what I'm picturing. When dogs bark at me, by the way, I always assume the worst. Some of you people think they're talking to you, and you get, maybe you talk dog language. I don't. But anyway, I'm afraid of dogs, honestly. This dog's barking at me, and he's following me, and I'm carrying Liz, and I'm going to protect her, and sure hoping it doesn't come to that, but this dog is a real nuisance to me. I can feel his breath on the back of my legs. And it is unnerving to me. But as I'm carrying her, from her perspective, and by the way, she's talking to the dog, "Look at the puppy." She thinks the puppy's cute. She felt no fear. And I didn't want her to feel fear. That's not her position to feel fear. She was secure because she's in her father's arms. And that's what Psalm 16:8 is about. Put God before you and find your security in God. Church, I encourage you to continue to draw near to God and let your light shine. And times will always be uncertain. This is just another chapter in the story of our lives. It will always be this way. But may we learn to trust God more and more. And I pray that this lesson and maybe these couple scriptures at the end will be something you can meditate on this week. So let's pray together. We'll close in prayer and then stay tuned. We have a bonus presentation, some videos of some of our members saying hello. And I think you'll find, and I hope you find that encouraging and making you feel, continue to feel connected to one another. And so we love you. And we look forward to when we can be together again. Let's bow together. God, we thank you and we close out this service today by giving you all the glory and all the praise. Anything is good. We know it comes from you. We do pray for your help, for your rescue. You are a rescuing God, and that's who we call to. We put our trust in you. We will continue to work and plan and do and make wise decisions, but we pray for your wisdom and we put you at the forefront and we will follow you and we will let you lead and we thank you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.